Okay, once again.
Is he still teaching in YU?
Which one?
The Rav's son.
I think so. I'm not positive. I'm not positive. Maybe one of the graduate schools in Revel. I'm not sure. Okay. So, as has been our custom for the last couple of weeks, we're going to mix some Divrei Torah about the Parsha and general Divrei Torah about preparing for Shavuos. And again, we have a number of the pieces here that that speak about that connect both the themes of Achrimos and Kedoshim as well as the preparing for Shavuos. So we're going to begin with the service on Yom Kippur. That's what Achrimos begins with, the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And you probably know that one of the main parts of the service, Natan, can I just trouble you to get my my briefcase from my office? I'm sorry. So the main parts of the service was to take the two goats. V'lakach es shnei ha-se'irim. Let's see where it is. So, umeyes, pasuk hey, on the top of page 338. Umeyes adas b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei se'irei zim l'chatas, ayelachat l'olah. So you know that the main part of the service in Kippur is the Kohen Gadol would take these two goats. Two goats. So the Maharal wants to know, why was the main sacrifice of the day two goats? Ari didn't send out an email, did he? There was no email?
I don't think so.
There was no email, yeah. I didn't see an email either. Okay. So there are two goats. Two goats. So why goats? So in the first piece over here, I summarize for you what the Maharal writes in his drasha for Shabbos. I think it was Shabbos Shuvah. I wrote Shabbos Agudah. I think it was Shabbos Shuvah, actually. So there's two goats that, so he says the goat had two significant parts to it. Its blood was one part of the goat, and its body. And the truth is, in these two sacrifices, in one of the sacrifices, we used the blood of the goat. That was the Sar LaShem that was brought as a carbon inside, and its blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And then you also had the Sar LaZazel. That was the goat that was thrown off the cliff, if you remember that service, the goat that was thrown off the cliff. So Maharal says, so carbon Yisrael had two goats, Shelasar Yish Dam Yish Guf. Sar LaShem, Domo Ladam HaKadosh Shel HaAdam. Thanks a lot, Natan. Apologize. Thank you very much. See, the Sar LaShem is similar to the blood, the goat's blood is similar to a human's blood. There's a story in Chumash that reminds us that a goat's blood is similar to a human's blood, that when the brothers wanted to trick Yaakov into thinking that Yosef had been slaughtered, they took a goat, and they slaughtered a goat. But apparently, a goat's blood, at least in consistency and appearance, seems to be similar to a human's blood. And so therefore, I'm just going to read it for you. You don't have this in front of you. I just summarized it over here. I'm just going to read it for you from what I have over here. It says like this. So one carbon, he was makriv of the blood inside. Ve'ein roi lahakriv of damo bifnim, rak b'shvil sha'adam ba'nefesh yichap, b'shvil sha'adam mu'anefesh. And the Jewish people, and this has been a theme throughout the Maharal. The Maharal has such great respect for the Jewish people, for the soul of a Jew. So he says, "V'Yisrael yeshlam nefesh kedosho tahora." The Jewish people intrinsically have holy souls, a holy life, and we know that blood symbolizes the life. So he says, and the Jewish people have a so lekach adam sheyichaper aleim hu dam asayir befrat. Which its blood looks like the blood of a human. So you had to have the blood of a goat, because the blood of a goat is what looks like the blood of a human being. And it's specifically the blood of a goat that needed to atone for the sins of the holy soul of the Jewish people. So that was one goat. But the other goat, Vasar Hasheni, probably get some sheets over here, take a sheet. Yeah, give to Andrew also. Andrew, come. Good seats right here, Andrew. The seat is not taken. And the bloat of the and the other one, the other goats, he says, Vasir Hasheni lo nishchat, the second goat was not slaughtered. Rak begufo hayim shalech osol azazel, he would take the body of the second goat and throw the body off the cliff. That was the avod of Yom Kippur. It was the body of the Sayyid Azazel. Because that comes, Kihu Baal Chet Yisrael Sher Chataim is Damim B'Seyar. So he says, why is a goat, why is the Sa'ir, the goat, called a Sa'ir? Sa'ir comes from the word Se'ar. So he said that the fact that they use the goat symbolized that the sins of the Jewish people are not intrinsic to them. It's like their hair. It's like their hair that's on the outside of them. The hair is not something internal to you, it's something on the external. So the Maharal keeps on stressing this theme week in and week out, that your hair, that the sins of the Jewish people are not intrinsic to them. This is something that we get tempted to do by things outside of us, by our Yetzer Hara, but sin for the Jew is not something internal and intrinsic. It's extrinsic, it's outside. And that's why we use two goats on Yom Kippur. Because the one goat, the Sar Lashem, the blood of a goat is exactly comparable to the blood of all the animals. The goat's blood is most similar and consistent to human blood, like we see from the story of Yosef, where the brothers slaughtered the goat to show Yaakov that it was really Yosef who was slaughtered. So why are we using two goats on Yom Kippur, says the Maharal? Because the one goat that's blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach inside to symbolize the holy soul of the Jew. And the same thing with the other goat, where we threw the body off of a cliff. He says, "Ulekach asar Hashem sheinos lo bavonos Yisrael b'shilach osol azaz ulgamkin sa'ir." Why? For the other idea, and that is that sa'ir is called sa'ir because it's very hairy, and the Jew's sins are like hair to the Jew. They're not internal; they're on the outside. So when we throw that goat off the cliff, we're trying to symbolize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sin is not who we are intrinsically. It's external to us, and we can get rid of it. We can chuck it. So that's the idea behind the two goats. Oh, now look at the next piece. Take a look at the next piece in Netzach Yisrael. Unbelievable, beautiful, beautiful piece. He says here, Yesh Lechol Lishol. Lama Charav Beis Hamikdash Rishon Bavon Eilu Gimel Avonos. The Hamikdash Sheni Bishul Senas Chinam. The Maharal wants to know, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Tamim? And yet the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. What was the difference? So he says like this, Like, one of them would be enough. What's the idea that all three of these Averis, they're all Yaharag Valyavar? So why are all three of them the contributory cause? He says so beautifully. Listen to this pshat. V'aperes asher hu lefi pshuto, ki mikdash rishon haya hashchina b'neihem. We know the Gemara teaches us there's five differences between the first base and the second base. One of them was the first base, whatever this means exactly, the Shechina was in the first base. And second base was lacking Shechina. There wasn't the actual presence of the Shechina in the same way, whatever that means. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. But in whatever degree the Beis HaMikdash has more holiness and the Kodesh HaKadashim has even more holiness, so the Shechina was there before. So the Gemara says that the Shechina wasn't there in second Beis HaMikdash. So look what he says so beautifully. Listen to this. He says, L'fikach churban shelo kasha lo haya roi shetishra Shechina b'neim. So the churban of the first Beis HaMikdash was when it was not worthy of the Shechina to be amongst them. Dehainu, kishetimu es Beis HaMikdash, when the Jewish people defiled the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'en Hashem Yisparach Shor B'soch Tumosam. Oh, and here's a connection to Parsha Sacharimos. That's why this piece made it into the Shir this week. Imlo kasher haya achet b'shogeg, v'oz ksiv, and that's the pasuk from our Parsha. V'chein yaseh lo'ol moed ha'shochein itam b'soch Tumosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk in this week's Parsha, you can take a look in the Chumash. Take a look at the Chumash. Jerry, you want to get me one Chumash over there? You can take a look. I know you did. Yeah, I want one for Andrew. Here we go. So if you take a look at the Pasuk in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin, take a look at Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin. What does the Torah say? It's on page 339. V'chiper al hakodesh, when the Kohen Gadol went in there and did the service, mitumas b'nei Yisrael, v'chein yasel ha-moed ha-shochein yitam b'soch tum osam. God is described in the Chumash as the God who dwells with the Jewish people in their tumah, in their defiled nature. So the Maharal is saying, so I don't understand. If the Jewish people worship the Avodah Zarah, Gile Rash of Tum, why did God have to exit? Doesn't the pasuk say he dwells with us within our tumah? He says, no, that's only if you sin b'shogeg. That's only if you sin b'shogeg, says the Maharal. And he says, these three averos are called by the Torah elsewhere as tumah. It's a Gemara in Masechta Shavuos. Avodah Zarah d'chsev l'man tameis migdashi. Where it discusses the Avodah Zarah, it discusses that there's tumah. Gili arayas d'chsev v'lo satim kol tareis v'lo sitam b'chaleil. Shvichas damim v'lo sitamu. So you see, the Torah uses the word tumah to describe these three things. It says the Maharal, ulefikach b'shvil elu gimel tumah schar v'abayis. So it makes sense that the first Beis HaMikdash, says the Maharal, that the Shechina was there. So these three averos bring tumah. The Shechina can't coexist with tumah. However, what the Shechina can't coexist with tumah. So these three averos are uniquely associated with the Chumash, throughout the Chumash, with tumah, that they bring a certain defilement. Again, and then the Maharal goes on for 20 pages explaining why each of these averos has specifically to do with tumah. I opted to not go with all that, to not get into the depth of the details. He explains very, very beautifully about that. But Avomalas Migdashani, so he says, wait a second. Second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Shechina. That's what the Gemara says. There was no Shechina in the second Beis HaMikdash. So what was the greatness of the second Beis HaMikdash? Well, what made it a Beis HaMikdash? If God's presence wasn't there, you ever think about that? Right? The Gemara says there's five things that were lacking from the second Beis HaMikdash. I think the Luchos, the Aron wasn't there. And one of them is Shechina, the presence of God. So ask the Maharal, what made it into the Beis HaMikdash? You know what he says? It's the Jewish people that made it into the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that we all got together and built it together, and in fact, listen to what he says. Avomalos Migdashani. So what made it a Beis HaMikdash? He says, Avomalos Migdashani Hayamachmas Yisrael Atzmam. The greatness of the second Beis HaMikdash was the fact that the Jewish people together, they beat back their enemies, they came into the holiest place in the world, and they got together, they were all ba'achtos, and they brought together, they built the Beis HaMikdash. The greatness of the second Beis HaMikdash was the achdus of Klal Yisrael. Even though we know that wasn't exactly totally true, that a lot of people stayed back in Golos, they didn't come back to rebuild it. But it was machmas, the Jewish people. The davar zeh barur, ki Yisrael hei mis'achdim ayyidei Beis HaMikdash shahay lehem. Somehow having the Beis HaMikdash caused achdus. Kohen echad, mizbeach echad, v'nesru habamos, right? What happened when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so you couldn't be makar of your own carbon in your own backyard, mizbeach anymore. Shalhaya pirud v'chilut Yisrael, right? That's why the Kohen Gadol is called Hevem Mitamidev Shal Aaron, Oiv Shalom, Verodev Shalom. The idea of the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol was, when he did what he was supposed to be doing, he was ma'ached, he brought all the Jewish people together. V'adar ha'zeh b'vur, and I'm going to explain more. Lekach, Beis HaMikdash al yado heim umach ha'shalema, u'mepnei kach necher v'abayis v'shul sin ha'schinam. Shenechlak levavam, v'ayu mechulakim, v'lo hayu ruim lemikdash yehu tzachtis Yisrael, u'peirosh pashatu, says the Maharal, and this is obvious. It wasn't obvious to me before I read it in the Maharal, but the Maharal says it makes so much sense that the first Beis HaMikdash had Shechina, the Shechina can't exist with Tumah. These three averos are called by the Torah as having a certain sense of defilement. I think the Maharal just explains that. Right, Gilei Rash, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, the Maharal likes to say that there's three parts to the human being. There's his guf, and then there's his neshama, his intellect, and then there's also his life force. There's his life force. I don't know exactly, we'll have to explain once. I'll have to research a little bit more deeply what's the difference between his soul and his life force. But the Maharal has three things. So he says, I think, that Shvichas Damim is a total corruption of the life force, and Arayis is a total corruption of the guf, and Avodah Zarah is a total corruption of the intellect. So he basically says that each of these three Averis, that's what it causes tumma to each of those three, the ultimate level of tumma to each of those three parts of the human existence. His body, his life force, like his blood, his energy. His energy, his passion, his life force, and his intellect, his mind, his thoughts and ideas. That's the three things. We're used to splitting into a guf and neshama, right? Just body and soul. That's, I think, what we're more familiar with. But the Maharal has actually three. He has actually three. He divides maybe what we would call the soul. He sort of divides it into nefesh and neshama. Nefesh and neshama, or nefesh and seichel, the way the Maharal says it. Seichel is purely the intellect. Nefesh is like passion and drive and... It's also in the mind, but it's a different section of the mind, what we would call the heart. You know, it's not really, what we call the heart is not really in the heart. That's a whole other discussion. When you say a person has heart, what does it mean? He has drive, he has passion. It means his mind tells him to, courage, right? It's in the mind, though. No, there's nothing in the heart medically that, so that's another discussion. Why do we call that the heart? But okay, I don't want to get into that right now. But anyway, what are the lessons that we can learn from here? So... One lesson, and I've been saying this, you know, for so many years, not really knowing why. I've just been saying it for so many years, not really having the sources to back up what I'm saying. But I've felt for a very, very long time that the thing that's keeping Mashiach away from us, and the thing that's keeping the Geula away from us, is the lack of togetherness of the Jewish people. That's what I've always felt instinctively. And the Maharal here is saying that certainly the second Beis HaMikdash, but he's going to develop it more in one of the next pieces, if I get to it. He says that we see certainly in the second Beis HaMikdash that divisiveness was the reason for the destruction, and Achdus, togetherness, is going to be the secret of the rebuilding. Achdus is the secret of Geula. And we also see here, we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate Tumah. Tumah, and the Tumah drives the Ribbono Shel Olam away. But if a person sins b'shogeg, so then the Maharal says, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell. That's what the Pasuk in our Parsha says. HaShocheini Tam B'soch Tumah Sam. But if the Tumah is caused by sin on purpose, that drives the Ribbono Shel Olam away. He can't coexist with that. Let's skip a little bit. I'm going to skip the next piece in the interest of time. Let's go to what I, I have two major pieces here. Let me actually continue on the theme that I've just been speaking about right now. I'd like you to skip to page two on the bottom. This is from the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Hisbar lecha b'perek shelifnei zeh, shehashem yisbarach asher nasan Yisrael begalus, gazakim agalus gamkin. This is just continuing with the theme that I just spoke about. Shehadavar shehu sanoi, shehu shinui, yotzi miseder ha-metzias, sarach shmir v'chizuk b'yosah sheyamon. Lekach gazar Hashem yisbarach ofen kiyumo, v'lachein tzricham Yisrael begalusam, Shenasnam Hashem Yisparach Tachas Ha'umos. The Dover Zehu Bittol Yisrael. She'enam Nechshavim Uma La'atzma Kasher Him Pzurim V'Nefradim Bein Ha'umos. V'yadua says the Maharal, Ki Hadover Shu Shalem. Something that's complete, Enu Mamayar Lios Nishbar. Something that's complete doesn't break so easily. Kimo Hadover She'enu Shalem Rakhu Chelech. But something that's already broken, so it's very easy for it to get broken even more. When something is complete and strong and whole, so it has a certain strength to it in the fact that it's whole. But when something's already just in pieces, so it's very easy for it to get more broken. Ulechein, af she Yisrael heim nechlokim upzurim heim bein ha'umos. Even though the Jewish people, by the way, he's saying all this about, this is all going on v'haftal recha kamocha. So we're jumping for a second to Parshas Kedoshim, because this is actually his commentary. The reason I'm saying this is because you know that in Parshas Kedoshim we have this week the Haftal Recha Kamocha. He's talking about how important unity is for the Jewish people. And he says like this, Even though the Jewish people now are divided amongst all the nations, we're not one whole people. However, those people who find themselves together, living in the same town, living in Woodmere, living in wherever they're living, Lakewood, he says, how important is it for the Jewish people to avoid machlokas, to avoid fighting, to avoid any discord, disunity, lack of harmony? How important is it for us to avoid that at all costs? Because as it is, there are Jews spread out all over the world. We're not in one particular place. So we're weak as it is because we're diffused. So at least those of us that are finding ourselves together in one place, how much do we have to be careful, at least in the same shul, in the same community, in the same neighborhood? How important is it for Jews to be supportive of one another and to overlook our differences and to strengthen one another? And listen to how he develops this. Ki adar shu chelek bovad eino chazak, v'hu muchan l'kabel hispalus, yoser. Hispalus means it could be affected. Something that's only a piece. We're only a piece. The Jewish people here, we're only a piece. So it's easy for us to be affected. Page 3. We'll skip to the next paragraph as he's repeating. And these words the Chacham taught us in the Medrash, in the Sifrei. Rabbi Lazar HaKapar Omer, Gadol HaShalom. How great is peace, says the Medrash, Afilu Ovdim Avodah Zarah, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ina Satan Nogea Bahem. Even if a person is an idol worshiper, but if he's a nice person who gets along with all his Jewish neighbors, but he's worshiping idols, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Satan will not be able to touch him. Shneamar, Chibur Ephraim Atzabim Hanachlo. Avol Mishenechleku, Ma'anemar, but if the Jewish people start fighting, Chalak libam ata ye'eshamu, hu ya'arof mizivchosam yishadid matzevosam. Hal helecha gadol hasholom v'sonoi hamachlokas. Says the Medrash, how great is peace and hated is discord. V'ata ben adam, this is the Maral talking now. Pekach einecha, open your eyes. V'havein advar me'el mo'od ala lashon hazeh asher amru ein asata nogea behem. Peace is complete. When the nation of Israel is not split up, when the Jewish people are in disunity, now, this is specifically, says the Maral, this is true of anything that's split up, that the Satan has the ability to get. How much more so the Jewish people? Says the Maral about the Jewish people, we are one nation, we are one unified, whole, complete nation. We are different than other nations in this regard. We have a certain unity to us naturally. Naturally, the Jewish people have a certain unity that doesn't exist. We stick together in a way that most nations don't. Intrinsically, inherently, it's in our DNA, this type of achdus. When the Jewish people have peace among them, of lacking sholeit behem vata amem mimushachu memorat asher kol moshlem alav eich lo yala al daitem dvar meilu. He says he can't believe how people don't understand that unity and shalom and peace is the most important value for all Jews everywhere at all costs. He can't understand how people don't get this. V'davar zeh timtza tamid shekol davar kasher ba'olav davar misnagid vata mitziyuso hinei hu meichan atzum v'davar shehim o'ilu l'mitziyuso ashu chalamo negan ha-misnagid v'yisrael shehim b'golus. More than this, says the Maral. He says like this. He actually says that the machlokas itself is the cause for galus. As a matter of fact, God arranged the machlokas because he wanted to send us into galus. because machlokas is actually our sustenance in galus. The more we argue, the longer is galus. So here you have my source, what I always felt inherently. Look what he says. Ki kasher teda. Ki etzem ha-golos hu ha-pizor shenispazu v'nischalku Yisrael. He says, the golos actually is a direct result, like we saw Sinas Chinam in the second base of Mishnah. That's what got us chucked out in the first place. And that's what keeps the golos going, says the Maharal. Arguments among Jews. It's not, well, we'll see. Listen to the Gemara in Brachos. Kol ha'osek b'Torah uvegmilas chasadim umispalel imatzibor male alav akasav kilu pida'ani li ulebni mibein ha'umos. Ulabanai, I'm sorry. Yeah, God doesn't have a son. That's the other religion. But he means the hepis like Hashem. He says, right, the Gemara says, anyone who's osek patoru uve gemilas chasadim and reaching out to other Jews, umispal imat sibor, and he davs to daven tzvila b'tzibor, is makbet to daven tzibor. Hashem says, male alav akosav, God considers this, ki'ilu pida'ani li, as if he redeemed me, says God, Ulabanai, and my sons, Mibein Ha'umos. This is going to be the secret. When the more the Jewish people get together, that's going to be the secret of redeeming God and his children from amongst the nations. Umash Amar Umispal Matsibur, says the Maharal, this that I explained, so I explained it earlier. Ve'ein Zafek, ki kasha yesh kan bechina mashal yitzia min golos, kamoshu kasha yisrael hei misachtem ve'inim chulakim zenechshav shem yotzim in agolos. The more we get together, the more that's our ticket out of Gullus. Ki begalusam he pizur mena umos chasher yisrael misachtem davz nechshav. Ah, v'chasher v'chashem shekim yisrael yashmir mena chilek atzvam zeo kim zeo gullusam v'chein ha'evdu mena umos. Ah, and he says, not only this, not only is achtus the key to our Gullus, but the other key to our Gullus is staying away from the nations of the world. Klal adavar, not intermarrying and not... What's the word I'm looking for?
Assimilating.
Thank you. Not assimilating. Klal adavar. Kasher Yisrael heim uma shlema ba'atzmam nivdalim in umos. Ein ha'umos palam sholdobem kvo kasher chelak levavam ba'atzmam. Oshi yishlem chibu ala umos. Oh, and that's what happened in Egypt, right? He says, I skipped that part. That's what happened in Egypt. In Egypt, what was the secret to our galus in Egypt? That we didn't change shloshinu es shemam, shloshinu es malbusham. We kept our garments different. We kept our name different. We did a lot of bad stuff, but we kept ourselves separate. Oh, listen to this last piece. And this is why it's on this parsha. This is why it's on Ahav L'Recha Kamocha. Ukvar nishalnu al zem in ha'umos, b'arvam ki atem omrim ki Yisrael heim ha'uma ha'tova. So the Maharal says, the goyim stopped me in the street. This is the Maharal saying. And the goyim in the Maharal's town in Prague. The goyim of Prague used to stop the Maharal in the street and ask him this question. Very, very powerful question. And by the way, I'm sure many of us have gotten this question at work.
The good people?
Yeah. You guys say you're the chosen people. You say you're the God's special people. Hang on. Tim Kane, Eich mishtok kin ahara tamid. How come all you Jews are always on the front lines of doing so much bad stuff? V'lo sheheim chafetzim bera l'misnagdim lahem bedasam. Rak ki oso ashay hu amiso. Imo b'Torah mitzvos mevakish raso v'lo tovaso v'Torah amro v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Has anyone at work ever stopped you and said, "You Jews, you say you're like the chosen people, special nation"? Well, then how come you're fighting with each other all the time? How come the Jewish people are fighting with each other all the time? Charedim against the modern Orthodox, the Chilonim against. I mean, you Jews, you're at each other's throats all the time. If you're such a special chosen nation. Doesn't it say in your Torah, like, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha? How come you Jews don't observe the most basic fundamental commandment in your book, the most basic one? V'ulay atem mefarshim, the goyim say to the Maharal when they catch him on his morning stroll, they say to him, maybe you learn the pasuk, ashehu kamocha b'malo v'madrega te'ahav oso, v'cholechad ro'atmo sh'yosu b'malo l'kach ein sarach sh'yehav es acher. Ad kan sheila shelo. V'sheila zos hi sheila kedua. He knows, maybe you learn v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. The guy says to the maral, says, maybe you learn the pasuk v'ahavta, it's already a whole shiur klali. Maybe you learn v'ahavta l'recha kamocha that you only feel it's appropriate to love somebody who's like you. And every Jew thinks, you know, well, you know, it's beneath me to love that Jew because he's not on my madrega, he's not on my level, I'm so much more holier than the other guy. So, and he says, this is an old question to the nations of the Jews. V'amis davarzehu g'nai negeda umos, kashatir b'chal umos she'in mi d'zos nimtze b'neim. So Maral says, well, it's not like they're so great either. They're fighting with each other and killing each other also. V'zos tshuva seinu al davarzeh. So Maral says, this is my answer to this question. Here's my answer. Ma she'in hu ma'zos ba'ava ha'echen imachiv, hu etzem ha'golos. The reason why we can't get together is because that is the definition of the existence of galus. Shehifrad Hashem Yisparach Eschibu Shalahem. When God decided that it's time for us to be spread out all over the world, this was God's decree. The Chelkam Vehafitzim. Umeachash Chelkam Vehafitzim. And since we're all spread out, and we all have different customs and different ways of doing things, and we're not all together in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, with one leader and one ruler and one Kohen Gadol and one Bezdin. So by definition, says the Maharal, there's going to be a certain amount of discord and lack of harmony and a lack of unity, and what I think is Judaism is not what you think is Judaism. And it's almost by definition, that's once we lost it originally, God decreed that it has to be this way because we have to be in Golus. Davar Zeh, Gorim gam kein shimichulak v'datim. Shem lo hayu mechulakim, if there would be no machlokis between Jews, lo hayu mekuyim bema pizor v'apirid. If there would be no argument between Jews, we'd all be back in Eretz Yisrael under one rulership. Osam shem echad v'lev echad lahem. V'em yesh lahem lev echad b'yachad, ein kan pizor b'en ha'umos. There would be no galus. Ki ma sheyesh lahem lev echad hu mechaber osam yachad. U'gzeres Hashem yisparach sheyu mechulakim. And then the Maral goes on to explain that again, despite the fact that God has decreed that we be separate, and that's what causes us to be spread out throughout all the lands, but the whole secret and yesod of us getting back together is how much we can repair that rift that caused us to be thrown out. Yes, it's true, God decreed that we'd be in different places, but so he says that the secret to our redemption is the more Jews realize that all Jews have a commandment to love each other. It's not just the most important, so the Maral stresses over here, it's not just the most important, right? Someone said, right, Rabbi Akiva said, V'ha'afta l'recha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, or when some of the Tanaim and Amoraim said, I could boil the whole Torah down to 10 psukim, and once I could boil the whole Torah down to 3 psukim, and once I could boil the whole down to 1 pasuk, and some say the pasuk is v'ha'afta l'recha kamocha. This is the whole secret to the redemption. It was the secret to the redemption in Egypt, that we stuck together and knew we were different than the Egyptians, shloshinu asham, shloshinu malbushim, and it's going to be the secret to our future redemption. It's going to be the secret to our future redemption. That's right. And okay. And the last piece I'd like to do with you. So again, in this parasha that we read, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, we should make sure to remember how fundamental and crucial it is for Jews. And the Maral says, not only is it the most important mitzvah, right? When the guy came to Hillel and asked him to tell him the whole Torah standing on one foot, he said, whatever you wouldn't want done to you, don't do to somebody else. Now, people who say v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is the whole foundation of Judaism. What about in terms of the relationship between man and God? Where does that come in? So, actually, the Maral, one of his other writings, says that if you love Hashem, you also need to love that which Hashem created. And if God created all of human beings, then we have an obligation to respect and love not only Jews, but also non-Jews, who also created B'Tselem Elohim, also created in God's image, even non-Jews. So we have to have respect For Tzelem Elokim, we have to have respect for every single non-Jew in the world also, a certain respect for the Tzelem Elokim. Because if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to love His creation. So says the Maharal. And the last piece I'd like to do with you. Two choices. Same theme. Yeah, same theme again. Moment. Should I go that direction or that direction? All right. We're going to go in the other direction. We're going to go on to a different theme. The final theme is going to be a different theme. And we're going to launch into a little bit of preparation for Imam and Har Sinai. A little bit of preparation for Shavuos. Please go to page... Oh, it's page 2, I think, for you. Page 2. Right. Just along the same theme of what I've been talking about, at the very bottom of page 1, he talks also, Kamaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, so I have over there a little bit about that. So let's, Tiferes Yisrael, you see where I am? Is that the top of page 2, Tiferes Yisrael? Right? So the Tiferes Yisrael, as I've mentioned to you, is the Maharal Sefer, but it also connects with our parasha, as you're going to see in a second. Oh, so let me tell you how it connects to the parasha first, just so I make sure to get to that. So one of the main themes of the parasha we're going to read the Shabbos is the prohibition of arayos. Prohibition of arayos, both in Achrimos and Kedoshim. In Achrimos, so it says you can't sleep with this one, you can't sleep with that one, you can't sleep with the other one. And then in Kedoshim it says, if you sleep with this one, there's going to be your punishment. If you sleep with that one, right? The Azhara is in Achrimos, the warning, and the punishment is in Kedoshim. Now, how does the Torah introduce that section? So it's an interesting introduction. This is what the Maharal is referring to here. It says, Ani Hashem, and then it says, Kemaseh Eretz Mitzrayim Sheir Savtim Balo Sasim. Okay, take a look on page 343. Right, the Maharal Moshe Lemar, Dabel B'nei Samat Alem, Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am Hashem your God. So don't sleep with those people who you're not allowed to sleep with. Kamaseh Eretz Mitzrayim Hashem. Don't be like the Egyptians. Don't be like the Canaanites. Keep my mitzvahs that do make sense and my laws that seem to you to not make sense. And then, right, don't sleep with any of the arayos. So the Maharal wants to know, why is this parasha introduced with Ani Hashem Elokeichem? So the Maharal compares this to the Ten Commandments. And since we are approaching Shavuos, I thought I would end with this piece. So hold on to your hats, gentlemen, as we go through this. Hadibra HaKadosh HaRishon Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The first of the Ten Commandments says the Maharal is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Harim b'nei Adam hayakasha lehem. Anochi Elokecha harei ein zeh mitzvah klal. This is not even a mitzvah, right? God starts off the Ten Commandments by saying, Anochi, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. It doesn't say you have to believe that I am Hashem your God. It just says a fact, a tautology. I am Hashem your God. Harein ze mitzvah klal. So in other words, there's really only 9 of the, what we call the Aseres Hadibros, there's really only 9 of them. And he says actually in the first paragraph, he says some people start thinking, well, maybe lo yilecha is really 2. Maybe lo sachmon and lo sisave are really 2. They start counting the 10 commandments, didn't they? Because the first one's not really a commandment. It's just a truism. So look at the second paragraph. The Maharal says, that's ridiculous. Don't. If you look at the first paragraph, you can do it for homework. He says, that's ridiculous. He says, no. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first of the Ten Commandments. So Perusho, this is what it means. Anochi Hashem Elokecha sheyot tzisich meyotzayim, ulekach lo tichpor bi, lo mar she'eni elokecha chas v'shalom. Umash lo mar, anochi eyelcha le'elokim, ki haya zeh mashma. He didn't phrase it as a commandment because if there would be a commandment to believe in God, then a person would think that he has the option of whether to accept God as his ruler or to not accept. Like any king, like you could decide to live here and then you have to listen to the laws that Obama puts into play, or you can move to England and then you don't have to worry about what Obama says. So you would think if it wouldn't have said in as a truism, I am Hashem your God, the Maharal explains that what it means is that, well, I want to use his language here, it's like you would have thought it's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, like the next mitzvah, lo yelecha. Look, in the next mitzvah, you shall not worship any other god. Now, if you opt to do that, You can opt to worship other gods. So a person might think that if he opts to not accept God's dominion and rulership over him, then God won't have dominion and rulership over him. Sorry, you're stuck with me, God's saying. Who Elokim Shelo? Even if you feel like you would rather God not control your life. You would rather not control whether you're going to be healthy or sick or rich or poor or whether you're going to live or die. Even if you'd opt out, there's no opting out. That's what it means. Sorry, you're stuck with me. Klomar, I'll call upon him on Elokecha mitzad atzmi. You could have thought you could throw him off. Therefore, you may as well accept me, because I'm going to be your God anyway. I'm going to control you whether you accept me or don't accept me. I'm in charge of your future whether you accept me or not. So you may as well accept me. Va'od. Furthermore, he says another thing, and here's where it connects to our parsha. Ki b'dibra anochi ha'shem lechashu kabbalas ha'lukus ha'machus ha'leim lo shayach pazet tzivu yegzer. He says, furthermore, it doesn't make sense to command that there should be a commandment, says the Maharal. It doesn't make sense there should be a commandment to accept me as your God. It doesn't make sense that it should be a command. This is a different explanation for why it doesn't put it in command form. Because the Maharal says like this. If I'm not your God, then you don't have to listen to my commands. So what's the point of me commanding you to accept that you should accept that I'm your God? Because okay, it's circular. In other words, to have a commandment to accept me as your God, says the Maharal, is circular reasoning. Because if I'm not your God, you don't have to listen to my commands. So what's the point of commanding you that I should be your God? So any supposition that I'm commanding you of something presupposes that you've already accepted me as your God. So it's impossible for me to command you to accept you to be my God. Because if I'm not your God already, then you don't have to listen to my commands. So there's no point in commanding you to be my God, that I should be your God. That's what he says in the next paragraph. You may have to, my Rebbe would have said, in the old days, my Rebbe would have said, you have to take a cigar and meditate on that a little bit for a while. Again, I'm not in favor of smoking. No one should take me the wrong way. I'm not in favor of that. But that requires a little bit of, I'm sorry, Dr. Joe, I cut you off.
No, isn't that the Rambam? Or the Rambam says that there's a Muda, you have to have the Muda first?
Right. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the fact that I'm your God can't be a command, because either you believe or you don't believe. I can't command you about that, because there's no point in commanding you that you should believe in me. Because if you don't believe in me a priori, you're not going to listen to the command. And if you do believe in me, there's no point in commanding you to believe in me, because you do believe in me already. Oh, but now he says, I'll just say this part outside of the interest of time. So he says, so that's what it means. Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yielecha. And then he quotes just one more paragraph, and then we'll stop. Uvemechilta lo yielecha lo kemacherin lama nemar lefish nemar anochi Hashem Elokecha mashal melch basav adam shenichnas lemedina is a mashal to a regular flesh and blood king comes into a town. So his servants say, decrees on us. So the king says, listen, first accept my kingdom, and then I'll decrees. Kach amal makarosh baruch Yisrael. So to God said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm Hashem your God. Accept my kingdom. Once you accept my kingdom, lo yilecha lo kemacherim. Anira b'zeh. Shabali yashid. Mashal anema kan sivui b'divar rishon anochi. Azam p'nei kikfar. You already accepted me in Egypt. Ulekach omar. Oh, hold on. I skipped the part that was our parasha. Sorry, go back. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer. I'm sorry. Last paragraph. Second to the last. Hu shnemel alon. Ani Hashem Elokechem. Shekibatam alchus b'Sinai. Kablu gzirosei. So it says in our parasha, Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim. So that's why it says, Ani Hashem Elokechem. Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim. Once you've accepted me as your God, sorry, that comes along with certain conditions. So what I thought we could learn from this, and this will close, is, How absurd is it? You ask 90%, atheists. How many people are atheists? Very few people in the world are atheists. Everybody's either very, very few people in the world. Thank God. If a person already believes in God, and he already accepts upon himself the oath, so how could it be that people deny God's commandments? How could it be? If you accept the rulership, so then part of accepting, believing in God, is part of accepting what, that he's there, is accept my decrees. You have to accept what God said. Alibi, of course, people don't believe that God really said it. He never said it and he never meant it. But I think we have to look at some of our own practices, that we sometimes selectively decide to take some things, ignore other things. This one makes sense to me, this one doesn't make sense to me. This one, yeah, God must have messed up on this one. God couldn't have meant this. So we have to realize that they go hand in hand. Anochi Hashem Elokeichem. Once you accept Hashem your God, Kimasei Eretz Yisrael Asher Yisavtem Bo Lo Sasu. Kablu Gzeirosai. I can't be separated from the things that I commanded. You can't like buy into me, but not into what I said. That's okay. There's a lot else here that's for homework, but hopefully we should. And Achrimos and Kedoshim, so many mitzvos, so many aspects of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Hopefully, we should learn the parasha in depth and listen to all the messages of the parasha, especially Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, which is the Sod HaGeula. That's the Sod to all of redemption. We're already so spread out. We have to be beacons and ambassadors of love for every Jew. Love for every Jew, conservative and reform, Haredi, modern Orthodox, Sephardi, Ashkenazi. We have to be ambassadors of absolute love for every Jew, even Jews who don't love us. We have to be, I'll just close with this. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. So he passed away, we're still in the Shloshim. I once heard, you know, one of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's sons. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is known as like the rabbi of modern Orthodoxy. Whatever, not the time now to go into what that does mean, what that doesn't mean. Listen to all the, so many haspedim, people who knew him well. You know, Rav Aaron has one son who's a Haredi, a very, very Haredi son. So somebody once asked him, he said, you know, you're so different than your father. Like, well, what are your family gatherings like? Like, you know, how do you, he said that my father is truly open-minded. Most people say they're open-minded. They're only open-minded to people who are like them. My father is actually really open-minded. He's even open-minded to people who are not exactly like him. That's real. That's really being open-minded. So if you listen to his hesped at the Levaya, he asked Mechila from his father for... It's not clear what was going on over there exactly, but he said when he called up his father every year of Yom Kippur, this would, again, he said it publicly at the Levaya. I'm not hiding anything. There were a few people at the Levaya. So he said, you know, when I call up my father, I called you up. He said, Abba, and that's when he started getting emotional. When I called you up every year of Yom Kippur to ask you for Mechila, for everything that I had done to you, so you always said, what are you asking Mechila for? There's nothing to ask you for Mechila for. There's nothing to ask you for Mechila for. You didn't do anything. There was nothing to do. But I know there really was a lot to ask for Mechila for. But this is who Rav Aaron was. He was truly open-minded. Right? Most of us, we think we're open-minded with people who share our views. So he said, my father, Rav Aaron, was really open-minded. He was even open-minded with people like me, with people who didn't share his views on a lot of things. So hopefully we could learn about the importance of Achdus and Am Yisrael so we can finally be delivered out of that gullus where the Maharal says, the whole point of the Gullus is that we're separated. So the more we get together, the more hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deliver us out of this Gullus with the bringing of Mashiach. May that day come here, v'yameinu, amen. Somebody want to say, Kaddish, Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chashem, 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 Rabbi Chashem